Would you believe me if I told you that I did this on purpose? As a Advent lesson, examination of conscience. So obviously it's very difficult to hear. Those who wanted to hear the word of God heard it because they grabbed the book in front of them and they opened it up. They actually did something as opposed to just sitting there saying, well, it's not my fault, there's no microphone. I don't know who got their book, so I'm not picking on you. But it's a good thought, isn't it?
No,
it is. She hasn't reached the age of reason yet. No, really, you know, when you think about it, it is a great image, and it's, you know, it was an accident, obviously. The system went out, but it really is a thought that as Catholics, do we really just sit and wait for something to happen to us, or are we going to go out and find it? That's the whole message today. Watch. Be watchful. Be alert. Don't be drowsy. Don't be asleep. I remember one time Father Charlie Hall had a wedding, and believe it or not, the wedding party were all firemen. And true to Catholic form, Father started on fire. I don't know how. It's Father Charlie Hall. He does this occasionally. I can say this because I'm not being taped now. He started on fire, his vestments, and they sat there and watched. And you think, what's wrong with us that we don't take action? That we're passive? And today Jesus is saying you can't be passive. You have to be alert. Or the first reading, first opening prayer was to run to Jesus. Shouldn't we wait and have him run to us? If we want it, we're going to get it. Nothing will stand in the way. And so, what are we, you know, watching, waiting? It's part of our life in all phases. When you think of how many hours a week we spend sitting at a red light, waiting. Sitting in the grocery store line, waiting. Sitting here, looking at your watch, wondering, waiting for him to get done. How many hours a week do we really spend waiting? And the question for us is not, are we going to wait? We have to wait. We're not in control of the clock. But what are we doing while we wait? That's the Advent message. What are you doing while you wait? Because you and I are waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. You and I are sitting at a, in my opinion, a privileged place in history. The first waiting, which we're also recalling to mind, that promise made so long ago that God would deliver his people through a person, and they waited 5 days, 5 years, 500 years, 5,000 years, and as they waited, they began to think, was it a lie? And don't we do the same, perhaps? This is my 50th Advent, and he keeps telling me that he's coming again. What's the scoop? What are we doing while we wait? The first coming, if you remember, they became so drowsy. The image is great. That the scripture says there were two people who were watchful and alert. Anna and Simeon. The scripture says that they were in the temple waiting for the consolation. Now that's an image. They were waiting in the temple. This is the temple, right? Jesus taught us that. This is the temple. So the image is fantastic. They're waiting in the temple for the consolation of Israel. Their heart was focused. It was looking for the promise. Everything that was occurring in their life, is this it? Is this it? Anna and Simeon, great examples. But where were the rest of the people? They lost hope. They gave up. They fell asleep. It cannot be so for you and I. I say we're in a privileged position because we have the past to look at. God made a promise before, and he fulfilled it. So he made a promise to us that he's going to return again. That's what we're waiting for. The second coming, judgment day. We're waiting for the day when all things will be made right. We're waiting for that day when what began comes to an end. We're waiting for God to give us the peace and serenity that we so long for interiorly. Waiting. What do we do while we wait? When you're in the car at a red light, what do you do when you're waiting? I pick my nose so that the person next to me thinks that guy's sick. Do you turn the radio on and start singing? Or do you look at the people next to you who are singing in their car? Or do you just glaze over at the light? Or do you pray? Alert and watchful, attentive. When you're in line at the grocery store, what's going through your mind? Is your mind centered on the filth that's on the racks that we call magazines that do nothing for us except highlight fallen nature? Or do we engage the people to the left of us or to the right of us? Or do we spend it in intercession for the poor person that's checking us out when we can be so impatient at times and unforgiving? Unless it's the machine. If you go through the automatic, don't pray for that machine. But if it's a person, a live person, are we interceding for them? Is our heart's desire focused on what we are really waiting for? Or do we just think that this is another season that we go through to only recall the past? It's not. You and I are the Anna and Simeons of today. The Lord said he's coming again. He didn't say when, but he said, don't be caught sleeping. It's interesting. Don't be caught sleeping. It was probably 10 minutes after the Last Supper when they went out in the garden and the disciples fell asleep. And he told them, don't fall asleep. And they fell asleep. The cock crows. He might come when the cock crows, it said. Remember what happened when the cock crowed? Peter denied him. We have so much we can learn from looking back, and hopefully, please God, we won't make the same mistakes. God gives us this information so that we won't make the same mistake. What are we doing while we wait? The Lord's inviting us to turn our attention to him. Not just to him, but also because we know this from history and from Scripture, there's an evil one who also is waiting. And he's very busy while he waits. He's busy bothering us. We need to be not only looking for the Lord, but we need to be looking for that evil one too. For when he's behind us whispering in our ear, he's not coming again. It was just a metaphor. He's not coming again. That was just a story that we tell people to give them hope, consolation. He's not coming again because he doesn't like you. All these little words that he brings to our mind, we must be watchful and attentive. He's hard at work while he awaits the second coming. Are we just as alert? Let's ask the Holy Spirit this week as we begin this great season of Advent. It is a great season. An opportunity for us to look at our lives through that lens of a promise. You know, every year we do go through Advent. And this year could be just like last year if you want it to be. It shouldn't be, because none of us are the same as we were last year this time. Some people have said goodbye to family members and they're grieving. Some people have physically moved to a new home, just moved into Grand Rapids. Some people lost their job and are starting new a job. Some people had something happen in their life that all of a sudden they woke up and spiritually they're much more alert than they've ever been. You know, we read the scriptures so much, and every time I hear them, something new speaks to me, because I'm different. And so are you this year. So we could coast through Advent, but I encourage you, don't. Identify that thing in your life that is different, that has changed. And how can we wait for the Lord in this change? How does He speak to that? The change that has taken place. Is He absent from us? The first reading, God, you're our Father. Why are you letting this happen to us? It's a fair question. As we go through our week and begin our Advent season, I encourage you, really look inside. What are you doing as you, how are you spending this time of grace, which it is, because you and I have the ability to change course? What are you doing with this waiting period? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to listen to the Lord and to be attentive to the promise.